Welcome to Discovering Responsible Wealth. This is Frank Angelos, your host. It's a pleasure to be with you this week. You know, over the course of the last 60 days, we've been working on a variety of different financial topics. We started January with talking about financial wellness and getting your financial affairs in order. And then through the course of last month, we spent time really dealing with our children and really educating them about money and finance. And when I closed last week's show, one of the key points that I, you know, made was is to help your children to manage credit and not to let them get in debt with credit cards and everything else. And you probably heard me pass a comment that credit cards are the ruination of our country. And all that, you know, kidding aside, I would tell you that it's very important that we educate our children about credit. You know, the Bible tells us that the borrower is servant to the lender. And what we want to make sure is that, you know, the reality in today's world is that you're going to need credit from time to time. You need to know how to access it and how to utilize it wisely. With that in mind, I reached out to one of our local credit experts, Michael Russo. He is the CEO of Colony Credit and Millstone Financial Group. So, Michael, welcome to our show.
Hello, Frank. Good to be here.
So, Michael, you know, I know that you've been assisting people with establishing credit, cleaning up credit, and so forth. And one of the things I would ask you, you know, as we get started is, what is the significance of a credit score? You know, everybody hears these numbers, 600, 700, 500, whatever the case might be. What's the significance of it, and why is credit important?
Well, Frank, you have to have credit to have a credit score. And the significance of having a credit score is when you go – that's the sole determining factor right now when you go to borrow money that lenders and institutions are using. It used to be, Frank, that that was one of the criteria. They would also look at assets and income. And if you didn't have a great credit score, you'd still be able to borrow but not good terms. Now, even if you have the assets and the income but your credit score isn't a certain number that they want, they're not going to grant you any credit, Frank.
So basically what we're saying is the ability for someone to purchase a home, get a mortgage at a favorable rate, go out and buy or lease a car, or to even have a credit card that if they wanted to go out to dinner or they were traveling, it really would restrict someone's life, that inability to access credit.
That is correct.
So with that in mind, you know, why don't we go into some insights for our listeners, which is what is an actual credit score and what goes into your credit score?
Okay, Frank. Well, there's many different credit scoring models that are out there. You can go online and purchase a credit score. There's probably 15 or 20 different vendors that have different credit scoring models. For the purpose of today's conversation, Frank, I'd like to focus on what's called your FICO score. Your FICO credit score was developed by a company called Fair Isaac, and that is that's the credit scoring model that's predominantly used in granting credit right now in about 95% of the lenders. Now, what a credit score, a FICO credit score is, it predicts the probability of a consumer becoming 90 days late on a particular loan obligation. Now, the credit scores range anywhere from 3 to 850. With the higher your credit score, the less probability of you defaulting on a loan obligation.
It's almost like when we look on the financial side and I'm looking at someone with a bond and I say I have a AAA rated bond, and that means the probability is you're going to get paid back, versus if I said I got a junk bond and there's a higher probability of default in that bond, in which case it pays a higher interest rate. It's the same thing for the individual from what you're telling
us. Exactly. If you look at the statistics of credit scoring and the probability just shoots up the lower your score is that you're not going to pay back that obligation.
So your history really becomes everything.
Yes.
So, Mike, you and I were speaking a little bit earlier, and you indicated that there were several components that go into a credit score. Why don't we go through what those components are so that our listeners really know where does this number come from?
Sure. Frank, there are actually five components that go into a FICO credit score. The first component would be your payment history or your delinquencies. And that's 35% of your credit score. That's a big component. And really what they're looking at is, are you paying your creditors on time? And if you're not, what is the level of the delinquency? In other words, are you 30 days late? Are you 90 days late? Is it a collection item? So your payment history is a big factor. Another big factor, which accounts for 30% of your credit score, Frank, is your revolving debt ratio. And what your revolving debt ratio is they look at all of your available revolving credit limits that you have, and they look at what's charged up against those limits, and they assess you a debt ratio. So, for instance, Frank, if I had 10 credit cards and each card had a $10,000 credit limit and I had $20,000 of balances spread out on those cards, I would be at a 20% debt ratio. Okay. So the idea is you want to lower your debt ratio, and that will increase your credit score.
So is what you're saying is they should go out and cut or cancel all the credit cards that they're not using and just get down to a couple of them?
No, it's not. You definitely do not want to do that. That's a fallacy. A lot of people would cut up cards and close them. Okay. Really what you want to do is you want to keep your cards open and use them every 3 or 4 months. Go charge you a $10 pair of socks on it and then pay it right off. Okay, what we found in the past was, over the past couple of years, was inactive cards were being, the credit limits were being reduced or either closed by the creditors.
Gotcha. Okay. So in order to have a good credit score, having available credit is key.
Exactly.
Okay? But and using it periodically is also fine. But it should be paid off at the end of the month, even before you would incur an interest charge.
Exactly.
And in doing that, it really improves your credit worthiness.
Exactly.
So what are the other attributes and components for this?
As the payment history and the debt ratio are 65% of the credit score. The next thing you have is your average age of your credit file. That accounts for 15% of your score. The older your credit, the better. So you never want to close those old credit cards. They're worth gold in the credit scoring system.
Okay. Very good.
Then the FICO scoring model actually likes to see a certain mix of credit. Okay, that accounts for 10% of your score. It likes to see a mortgage account on there. It likes to see an auto loan, a line of credit, anywhere from 3 to 5 revolving credit cards. Now, if you have 8 credit cards, I'm not telling you to go, you know, cut up and close 3 of them just to get to that 5. But that's just a mix that they like, the model likes to see.
So what it sounds like is having a lot of just credit card debt is not good. But if you had a car loan and other things and you had, you know, kind of some diversification in your credit, you're good there.
Exactly.
Very good. Yeah. And, you know, as we're talking about the credit score, it comes down on the financial side when I look at it. It reflects the cost of money also, which is the higher your credit score and the higher the probability that you're going to pay it, the less expensive money is. So you tend to get cheaper car loan rates, cheaper mortgage rates, and then the higher the probability that you may default, they're going to charge you more if you can access it at all. Am I understanding that correctly,
that's
Mike?
100% right, Frank. And that's why you really have to understand your credit and how credit scoring works so you can increase your score and take advantage of the good lending rates that are out there now.
So, Mike, when last week we were talking about, you know, we have a kid that shows up for college and everyone wants to give him a credit card, we know that our children need to at some point establish credit in order to build their life, to have a home someday, to have a car, to get credit and to be able to travel. What are the right things that you can do for your children to start them off on the right foot?
Frank, real quick, before I answer that, I just want to go over, there's one last component of your credit scoring, and that would be inquiries. Okay.
Good point.
Inquiries account for 10% of your credit score. Inquiries will stay on your report for 2 years, will affect your score for 1. There are 2 types of inquiries: hard inquiries, which will affect your credit score, soft inquiries, which won't. Okay. Now, as far as establishing credit, Frank, there's 2 great ways that you could establish credit. Number one is somebody can go out and get what's called a secured credit card. The way a secured credit card works is that you would go to a lending institution, a bank, and let's say you wanted to open a $500 credit card. You would give them $500, they'll issue you a card, and you can go out and charge up to that $500 limit. You're going to get billed every month the minimum payment of whatever you charge. Once you show your credit worthiness, okay, over a 12 to 18 month period, what they'll do is they'll refund you back that $500 they have as collateral, and then they'll issue you an unsecured credit card, okay, for that limit.
Very good.
Okay, but that's a great way to establish credit. Another way, Frank, and this is very important, is getting added as an authorized user. If you could get added on somebody's credit card as an authorized user, you pick up the credit history as if you own the card from day one. I'll give you an example. I have a son that went off to school this year. About a year and a half ago, I added him to two of my credit cards as an authorized user. Within an eight-month period, that generated a 743 credit score for him. Okay.
Interesting.
So yeah, that's a great way to establish credit.
Great. And, Mike, as we're wrapping up, how would someone improve their credit score? So someone goes and they check today and they go, geez, I got a 650. How do they improve it?
Well,
Just a few pointers.
Number one, Frank, is what they really want to see is they want to get a copy of your credit report to see what's on there. Eight out of ten credit reports that are pulled have inaccurate information on there. So the consumer really wants to look at there because there might be some inaccurate information in there. If there's not and things are accurate and they want to improve their score, some of the things they want to do is reduce their credit card limit. Okay, that's key. They want to make their payments to on time. Any loans that you have out there, make sure you pay them early if you can. Do not wait to make payments or don't have any past due balances because they will negatively affect your score. So these are just a couple things that you can do to help improve your credit score.
Mike, all great insights, and we thank you so much for being with us this week. As we're wrapping up our show, you've been listening to Discovering Responsible Wealth. Our guest today is Michael Russo. He is the president of Colony Credit and Millstone Financial Group in Millstone, New Jersey. Michael, thank you so much for being with us today.
It was great being with you, Frank. Thank you.
I'm your host, Frank Angelos. If you have any questions, you can write to us at the Institute of Responsible Wealth, 2431 Atlantic Avenue, Manasquan, New Jersey, 08736, or you can email us at info@iofrw.com. Thank you, and have a blessed week.